This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Somebody chiming in on what Binkley's threesome for his birthday would be: beer, golf, with that one chick with big boobs, then threesome after.
That's about right.
Binkley debunked the whole setup and just goes, yeah, I'd probably go beer, nachos, and beef jerky. Vern, he's pretty accurate about that, isn't he? We've sat next to Binkley destroying some nachos and beef jerky before.
Oh, man, yeah, that sounds like his dream. I was listening, and as he was saying those three things, I mean, he left Chew out.
Yes.
But I think that was just him covering his own backside on the radio. But, yeah, those three, and half of it, you know, be stuck in his teeth.
Yeah.
And he's destroying it with a fork and covered in salt, and happy birthday.
The Chew or
buddy.
The food?
Yeah, all of it.
All of it.
Yeah,
right.
Salt on everything, yeah.
Like how Frank Kona chews his gum and chew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Binkley puts a dip on a chip and scoops, and he's like, taste some Dutch, man. Yeah. Not a damn man until you've had nacho cheese with a dip.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he would say.
I don't know.
You're a little girl. You don't put salt on your chin.
Yeah, don't be a puss, Dutch. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first time I went in there, he goes, best part about nachos, Dutch, eat onions. As many as you want.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, only like a...
onions.
I was like, only satanic people put onions on nachos. They call me Satan, Dusty.
Okay. Yeah, and then I would sit next to him for the entire game, and then
you'd smell
peer pressure me into chewing, and then I'd get dizzy and want to throw up at the start of the post-game show.
Right.
Man, those were some wild times, and now all those players are being retired.
Right.
And retiring as a Royal. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to bring that up because Moose obviously got the information, thanks to you for having it available for Cody and Gold yesterday. What was kind of the look in his eyes when you were talking to Moose about that sort of stuff and like him getting that acknowledgement that is, you know, a great career? Yeah. I mean, 13 years going in as a Royal and retiring as a Royal with the one-day contract. What was kind of his like demeanor yesterday when that news is out and you guys are all talking to him?
Emotional. You know, Moose always wore his heart on his sleeve. And while he was a player, it was always at times, you know, anger, frustration, you know, he was always the heartbeat, I thought, of that team, the fire of those championship teams of 2014 and 2015. But, you know, I mean, Dusty, you were in that locker room. You remember Moose. You know, he
we remember when Vargy
and this is not surprising.
Game.
Yeah. But once he got married, once he had these kids, he's turned into a softy.
Yep.
Yeah, the hard nose, you know, we're not going to lose this game, blankety blank guy inside the dugout is now, you know, wrapped around his daughter's fingers. And the guy that came off the field in 2017 with Haas and Kane and Eske while they were all smiling and waving and Moose was bawling, that's who Moose is now. He's just a good guy that wants to take care of his kids and stay in the game of baseball. And you could tell how much it meant to him to be in the pantheon of the Royals legends. I mentioned that to him afterward. I go, you know, you legend, that's how you're going to be remembered. He quickly brushed that aside and, you know, made a joke about it. But he is. I mean, the home runs in 2014, the catch in the third base dugout, the speech in the wild card game, the speech in game four against the Houston Astros. That moment, walking off the field, being in tears, it showed you how much not only his teammates meant to him, but the city of Kansas City. And I always go back to a story that he told this past off season when they were him and Hosmer were reminiscing about Lorenzo Cain's retirement day at Kauffman Stadium. And, you know, they were watching that and crying. And then they come back for the 2014 reunion last year. And as Moose and his family are flying back to California after the 2014 reunion, his son looks to him and says, "Wow, Dad, they really love you in Kansas City." And Moose got emotional. You know, he knew that they loved him, but for it to be so abundantly clear that a five-year-old can acknowledge that, while 40,000 people think my dad's pretty cool. Fesco, you're a dad. I can't imagine what that would mean.
Yeah, no, anytime your kid says something nice,
they're proud of you. That's
right,
cool.
Right, exactly. It really is.
Can you say that again while I record it?
Yeah, because it doesn't happen a lot. But like when you said that, I could feel kind of my heart, you know, like just kind of melt a little bit. Like, hey, Dad, they really like it. I'm like, yeah, we really do. But I'll go back, you know, to 2010 when we moved back from the minimum security prison called St. Louis after 3 years. And I went to my first spring training, and I remember Haas and Moose, obviously they weren't on the team yet, but they were, you know, they were the hot new prospects at that point in time. And it goes like this, Vern, like just like this. And that's why I've always been just please appreciate everything, you know, that we have going on and everything that this team has done and the Chiefs have done. Don't get caught up in the moment and the minutiae of the day to day. Get caught up in what's going on and appreciate what's going on. Because I'm sure if you ask Moose, I'm sure if you ask any of those guys from 14 and 15, did you appreciate it enough? They probably would say no. They were too busy focused on other things instead of appreciating what they were accomplishing. Because I even know to this day, and I continue to tell the story, I talk to Dayton a lot, and I always say, do you appreciate it yet? Nah, right. Still don't. Like they didn't appreciate the moment. And the day after, when we were having that celebration in 2014, remember that celebration at Kauffman Stadium where we had some of the players come out? The front office went right back upstairs afterwards, and they were all given, you know, their orders for the offseason. All right, we're not talking about what we just accomplished. We're talking about moving forward to 2015. And they were all on that same page from the front office on down. The 2015 was going to be the year that they won it, and they did. And now here we are 10 years later getting ready for a 10-year reunion. Like, it happens overnight, my man.
And it's wild that they really can't appreciate it. To be great, to be champions, the kind of work, the kind of focus, the straight-ahead attitude and drive, that has to be unrelenting, because the moment you stop and smell the roses, Jack Caglione passes you by and you lose your job like you guys were talking about earlier. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and every time you feel as if I've accomplished something, you know, someone's trying to take your job. Although out here at Royals camp, as you saw, Bob, that when your two hardest workers are a future Hall of Famer in Salvador Perez and likely another future Hall of Famer in Bobby Witt Jr., you know, that kind of serves as a tenet that if they're working that hard, if they're the first ones on the field, me, a utility infielder, a third baseman, a left fielder that's only in my second or third year, man, I can't enjoy it. I got to get out there and work.
Vern, I want to bring this up, and I know a lot of people hate player comps, but Moose was kind of the Robin to Hosmer, I would think, in 14 and 15. Hosmer, the superstar. Bobby Witt, the superstar in this team. Is Vinny kind of that sort of mold? I know he's not necessarily the rah-rah guy that Moose was. Like, we're not effing losing this game, but I feel like he kind of carries some of those characteristics with this version of a roster.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think there was a superstar on that 15 team. Certainly not of the caliber of what Salvi is today, and obviously not what Bobby is as a perennial MVP candidate. Yes, I agree with your point that Vinny is, to me, the mouthpiece of that clubhouse. He says the things that everyone is thinking. He says the things that Bobby would never say, because Bobby's a machine, a baseball machine that is as polite and humble as you're ever going to find. But there's a fire in there. There's a guy that wants you to know I'm the best player on the field, and Vinny's the guy that puts that out there in the atmosphere for everyone to hear. You know, Vinny's the one that's going to be open about the team's goals. You know, and that's a lot like that. You know, Hosmer was the mouthpiece of those championship teams. Moose, I always say, was the heartbeat. And to me, the heartbeat of this team is Salvi. You know, who's the guy that's going to give that Moose-like speech in the dugout? I feel like that, man, that's an interesting debate, because the only guys you would assume that have the gravitas to stand up and tell everyone to shut up, or Bobby, Vinny, Salvador Perez. I guess hopefully that develops over the course of the season. You know, I mean, Hunter Renfro's got a little bit of that in him. He's got a little bit of the old school, keep it light, tell some jokes, maybe a few off-color jokes. Mm-hmm. Moose had a little bit of that. But I don't think that anyone has, or anybody on this team has, the total package that Moose was, the ability and also that unyielding fire burning within. No one really jumps out to me yet.
Yeah, not. You're right. I mean, like, you can't recreate that, right? I know we always, like, as he said, he hated player comps, Dusty did, and I'm like, you know, I understand that as well, but we all like to do the player comps, but sometimes you just can't comp a player. Like, Moose was just that guy. Like, you can't recreate or be somebody you're not, you know?
Right, and pitchers, Reagan's isn't that type, Waka's not that type, Seth Lugo's certainly not that type. You look to the bullpen, those aren't really your rah-rah guys. Honestly, that might develop over the course of this season. You know, maybe I'm looking around. MJ just hasn't done it yet. If he can put a whole season together, he certainly has passion and energy, but he needs to focus on himself before he opens up his mouth. Kyle Isbell's, too great of a teammate to really get have the cuss words start pouring out. I don't think this team has that type of fire, fired up individual. The gas tank is always full, ready to run through hell in a gasoline suit like a Pete Rose, like a Mike Moustakas. Hopefully that develops over the course of this season, though.
Vern, one of the things I heard a lot about during the 2 minutes that I was down there was lockout work stoppage. Everybody was talking about it. Yeah. Tony Clark mentioned it yesterday. They're expecting a lockout. I'm under the impression of if you do a work stoppage and you come back with a cap and a floor, fans will be fine. I could be totally wrong. You know, react to me, basically.
Well, yeah. I mean, to achieve a cap and a floor, you might miss an entire season. Yeah. And in today's entertainment landscape, with attention spans being what they are, people will forget about baseball, I think, real quick.
Wow.
Maybe not you and I, but a lot of people, I think, will forget about. I think that would be terrible for the game of baseball. I mean, there already is a quasi-cap with all these different luxury taxes. There isn't a floor, and players are never going to go for a hard cap. I can't believe they already have been duped into the soft cap, but now I'm not saying I'm opposed to all of it. I understand where baseball needs to go, right? The players and the owners have to work together if they're going to grow this game. But there's just so much animosity between the two, understandably so, because of the past 80, 90 years. I certainly believe that there's going to be a work stoppage. And, yeah, I think it could be catastrophic for the game. I think guys like you and I, Bob, might be the only people to come out the other side when it's all said and done.
Okay. All right. I guess I am in the minority. I'm glad we talked that out, because I thought I would be like, hey, you have a work stoppage, you shut this thing down for a year, you come back with a cap and floor, fans will be happy. I guess that's just a baseball dork in me, right?
Well, that might take some time, though. I mean, big picture, 20 years from now, you might be right, because you need baseball fans in Kansas City to care what's happening in Los Angeles and New York and Seattle and Miami the same way Chiefs fans know. Maybe don't care, but Chiefs fans know what's going on with the Seahawks and the Dolphins. You know what's going on with the Eagles and the Cardinals. Royals fans know what's going on in Kansas City, but they probably don't know the moves that the Tigers made, teams in their own division. Baseball needs to become less provincial, more of a national sport. And yeah, I think you're right. The only way to do that is likely working together, implementing a hard cap, a hard salary floor, to where every team feels as if we're all playing by the same rules. I understand why the players don't want it. I understand why the players will probably never capitulate to it. And thus leads to a year-long lockout, and who knows the future of the game. But like you guys were talking about earlier, it's unfortunate, because the game is as healthy, there's as much talent as, you know, to me, growing up, I always dreamed about, you know, being in New York in the 50s or being around for Mays and Aaron and Clemente in the 70s. To me, the kind of talent that's in the game right now is comparable, if not better. Well, certainly better. I'm just talking about the amount of stars and how captivating so many of these athletes are. To think that we're going to lose a year of Bobby Witt Jr. is sickening.
Well, the hell with the athletes. I wouldn't want to lose a year with Josh Verner. So that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
That?
Hey, thanks for coming in here with
Sure I get paid still.
Absolutely. I'll protest all you need. Thanks for coming on the show all the time with your gasoline fireproof suit, Vern. We appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
You bet.